that we have together. You want to look in Luke 24, and you can, and also you can turn to Romans 10, and you can hold your place there. Then we'll carry on some other verses too. Father, help us as we come to this time, very, very important time. Could be a very life-changing time. It could be a life-changing time for somebody here today or under the sound of this message. And let it be for all of us that we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, and you'll be uplifted, we pray. Amen and amen. Now we're going to read a little bit in Luke 24. Now upon the first day of the week. Now I want you to keep in mind the first day of the week. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, let me just read verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Now I'm just going to pause right there for a moment. There's a difference between Saturday and Sunday. You know that. There's a lot of people that are worshiping on the Sabbath and not on Sunday, but they're not correct about that. There's so much a difference between Saturday and Sunday, and the difference is between life and death. You need to think that over a little bit. Between heaven and hell. That's very important. You keep that on your minds. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Christianity is alive, is living. Religion is dead. He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day. You see that word, remember? So easy to forget. And they remembered his words. They remembered. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. The apostles. Of all people that should remember. But what is their response? And their words seem to them as idle tales. They believe them not. In Romans chapter 10, you got your places there of hope, and I would like for you to look in chapter 10. In verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Everyone that is trying to be saved by works represents Sabbath law. Everyone that's saved realizes the new day, the first day of the week. As we would look at the first day of the week, my friends, that's Resurrection Day. That's new life. And you see something that is at an end. That Sabbath law. Christ is the end of the law. The law that was given by Moses was obviously not meant to be kept to be saved, but it was meant to show us that we could not be saved by trying to keep the law. No man has ever put an end to the law by saying that means satisfying the law. Jesus satisfied the law, and He forever put it at an end. Those that know Jesus will never be judged for their eternity by the law of Moses, but will be judged by a new law, the law of Christ, representing grace, representing life by all those that believe. The verse says in Romans, Christ is the end of the law. I'm going to read that one more time. And I want you to look at it very carefully. In Romans chapter 10, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. See, He fulfilled the law for us. He did what we could not ever do. He fulfilled it. And it was actually set aside. The Bible says in Galatians that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And now that idea means that it just showed us that we might as well forget. A schoolmaster is somebody supposed to be teaching something. And the law was our schoolmaster to teach us that we can forget trying to get anywhere with God, especially to heaven, by keeping the law. I've got some new friends. I try to make friends all the time. I got some new friends that I met that live in Georgia, and the young man is his mom, grandma take him to church every Sunday. He's like 18 years old. He's 18 years old when I met. The next day he's going to be 18 years old, which was about, it was last week. And his grandma took him to church since he's a little child, and his parents don't go to church, and he goes to church every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And you know who goes to church at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning? The Catholics. And we were talking, his daddy, we were sitting on my back porch at a table, and we're eating dinner, and his daddy had cooked some ribeye. They shared it with me. They were doing some work for us. And I knew his daddy didn't go to church. He was probably not a Christian. We were talking. I tried to interject the gospel the best I could. And the son was listening as I was talking. And he was talking about how that God's a good God. And if we do bad, He'll punish us. If we do good, He'll reward us. And his idea about getting to heaven was, if you'll do more good than you do bad, you can go to heaven. And that's a lie of the devil, friends. You're never going to be able to do what Jesus did. Are you willing to be crucified? Have your blood shed? Find out it's the wrong blood. Your blood is sinless. His blood was sinless. Oh, the end of things. The end of things means there can be some, when that's the end of things, see, that's, in other words, that should have been the last Sabbath. It's far as the law of Moses, he said, yes, sir. You know how strict the law of Moses was? Now, the Jewish people, how long they had the scribes and Pharisees and the lawyers wrote more laws in addition to Moses' law, which were never meant to be, and they had so many laws there that you had to dig down deep to find the original law of Moses, which came to an end on our benefit through Jesus. And so they, what they did that for is to control the people. And they kept the people in fear of breaking the law. They kept the people in fear, and they kept them in a lucrative way. That's where we're built of, is in a lucrative way. Not only a Lucifer way, but it's in a lucrative way to those that live in fear. We give because we want to. Nobody demands you to give anything. You give with an open heart. So it got so strict. They were breaking laws everywhere left and right, man-made laws. But even in the law of Moses, if you'll study in the book of Exodus and the Pentateuch, the first five books are really the law, the writings of Moses there concerning the laws in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy. You'll see that they had a law from God that if a man on the Sabbath actually went out and picked up some sticks, he could die. That was work. What about that one? I mean, just maybe you needed a fire. Maybe you need to get some wood for your wife to cook you something to eat. No, he says, hey, you should have picked them up the day before. So you want to try to get to heaven by keeping the law? No, not the law of Moses, but the law of Jesus. Amen. The Spirit of Christ, Jesus. Amen. Now, creation has a wonderful example for us. And, you know, the Sabbath means a rest. That's exactly what the word Sabbath means in a very simple rendition. There's the rest of creation. The rest of creation. Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to read just a little bit. Genesis 2 verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. Now, let me just say this. In this first verse, it was the end of the sixth day. And you know what God did on the seventh? He rested. He rested. It don't mean God was tired. It means he was finished. I mean, just that's over with. Got that over with. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them, they were finished. The heavens and earth were finished. All the hosts. I'm going to interject something right here. This is going to be a bit ridiculous. I was hesitant about how far I would get involved with this. Now, there's a push for journalists to become successful for people. There's a push for them to see all they can see. And you don't know what the Bible says about how. Homemaker. Why are women ashamed? That's a lot of women. They've never, it'd be an insult for them to say, I'm a stay-at-home mom. You can mother a child, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time being a mother with your children. How can you be a mother? Now, let me get into this. There were some women that just went up into space. Ladies. Y'all heard about that? They went up in space. And while they were in space, here's how bad it's got. Got so bad. They're talking up there. And I don't like to use that OMG, right? Not oh my goodness, but oh my God. You know what one of them women said? One said, oh my God, when she saw the heavens and the earth. The other one said, oh my goddess. And another one said this. I heard them saying it. You may have heard it too. And the other one said, I've never felt more closer to my divine goddess. What? We laugh at that, but these people mean that. The Bible talks about the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. And on the end of the sixth day, the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. That means everything that was created, it was all created at once. And those 6 days It was all created. Don't be so foolish to try to believe the professors and the universities and the high schools and the juniors and the elementary school and maybe even kindergarten teachers that are teaching the evolutionary theory and that it was took billions of years. Jesus, God created it in 6 days, six literal days. And the evening and the morning were the first day. That's the way the Jews determined their days. The evening and the morning were the, was the fifth day or fourth day. The evening and the morning, if you'll read it, that's what it's the evening and the morning. They begin their day in the evening. 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. P.M. to A.M. P.M. And don't be misled when you think that Jesus was crucified on what they call Good Friday. Don't be misled by that. Jesus said, I'm going to be in the belly of the fish, the whale, 3 days as Jonah, 3 days and three nights. Now I'm going to tell you what, you're some kind of genius if you can get from Friday till Sunday morning, 3 days and three nights. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Keep that in your minds. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Jesus got up sometime after 6 o'clock on Saturday night. He was gone. When Mary Magdalene and the ladies, and I'm telling you, it's something to be admired about the ladies that are more concerned about Jesus than the men sitting closed up, fearful and unbelieving. The apostles didn't even believe it. They believed them not. These girls had already seen it. And then Peter jumped up and said, I'm going to go see for myself. And I don't even know if he really believed it until Jesus appeared to him. And then he believed it. And the others didn't believe until he came through that door that was locked and closed. And they were sitting there, you know, whatever, still afraid. And they thought they saw a ghost. And then he said, can a ghost eat? He said, you got anything to eat? They gave him some honeycomb and fish. What a meal. We need to start putting honey in those fish fries. Honeycomb. Let me say this. Let me just move along quickly. You see, life on earth was finished. The creation of life was finished. The creation of the heavens were finished. The lights in the heavens were finished. It means they were all created in those 6 days, and it was over with, and there's nothing been created ever since then. There's been things made and manufactured, but the same atoms, A-T-O-M-S, the same one are still here. We're in Adam. We're descendants of Adam. We're not recreation. No, we're not. And let me give you warning that now they're publicizing, the liberals and the whoever else are publicizing, we're going to be able to extend life. Now you listen carefully in the news. We're going to be able to extend life and hopefully maintain life in the future. Man has got it in his mind that he's going to beat death. But let me tell you something, death, it's going to beat him. Death is on our trails. And it's going to find us if Jesus won't come soon. Everything that was made, everything that makes up creation was finished. And that has to do with the sun, moon, and stars, and the earth, and the animals, and the birds, and trees, and the water, and everything, and the fish, and everything, and mankind. And God made the first man, Adam, and he's never made another Adam. A-D-A-M. He's never made another one. You can forget and just count your dollars as wasted for for tax dollars that are sending men into space looking for life. They'll never find it. He made one Adam and one Adam only. And the sun and moon and stars were made for lights in the night and for signs and for seasons, not for human or extraterrestrial life. Thank God for that, that He finished it up. 1 week. Then He rested the seventh day. The seventh day, God ended His work in verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which he had made. Past tense. God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. No, nothing else has ever been created. John 1 verse 3, all things were created by Him, and without Him nothing, not anything was made that was made. The Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus created. Here's what He says. He says all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. That's continuity. Not only did He make it, but He holds it together. And one day, He's just going to turn loose of it. And that's when it's going to be the end of creation. It's all going to burn up with fervent heat. And God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And the former things will be forgotten, neither shall they come into remembrance. Now look at verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and He sanctified it. Because that end He had rested from all His work that God created and made. He said, there's nothing. This is it. There's not going to be another one. I'm blessed this day. This is the day that things have been put to rest and put to an end. Now, stay with me. That's creation. In the millennial kingdom, there's going to be a rest. In Isaiah chapter 66, the Bible says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." And it shall come to pass that from one moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go. Now, listen. And it shall come to pass that from one moon to another, one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come. Now this is the 1,000-year reign, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now, this verse, if you'll read Isaiah 66 when you get home, this is the millennial kingdom when the original curse is lifted for 1,000 years on this earth. And the people are going to worship God for it's going to be like 1,000-year Sabbath. 1,000-year rest. You see, this earth is almost 6,000 years old right now. The 7,000 years will be the Sabbath of God. And the Sabbath God gives to us for a millennial rest for 1,000 years. You know, talking about honeymoon. When Jesus has His bride, God. When we're His bride. And when that millennium sets in, some people said that's going to fit down here. So imagine living all for 1,000 years. It's a wonderful rest. Now, let me back up a little bit. After this original Sabbath that God instituted, and I'm not going to take time to read all this, but after this initial creation, and God instituted that Sabbath by saying there can be nothing added to what I've created.
Nothing. Nobody, nowhere. Demons in hell, angels in heaven, men and women on earth have never created anything. Doctor, all created. It's over with. It's I. That's creation. A perfect statement. For 2,500 years, there was no mention of a rest or a cessation of work or a Sabbath to the law of Moses. Really? Some of you, some people may work 7 days a week. Don't visit. I know we got people in here, urgent care, medical people, military people here. So they have to work 7 days a week. But if in any way in the world, you set a day aside, 2,500 years. When God created his nation of Israel and the laws, one of the Ten Commandments, he talked about the rest, and he said the Sabbath. 6 days you're going to work. On the seventh, no work. On the seventh, no work. This was the end of the Sabbath when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And I'm going to tell you what, he set aside something that man did not have to worry anymore about keeping the law to be saved. And you're very foolish if you think you can get saved and live anyway. If you've got that attitude, if you come to this altar today and say, I'm going to get saved, you got the idea, well, I'll just use Jesus, you know, let him save me and I'll live. No, you're going to have a changed life if you really get saved. You're not going to have the attitude, well, I can do what I want to, I'm saved, can't. No, you can't do that. Only a fool would try to blaspheme God in that way. God changes your life. For 2,500 years, and then God instituted the Sabbath for the nation of Israel, not for the whole world, but particularly for his people, he instituted the Sabbath. And it was for their benefit. And the whole idea is, or the whole thoughts is, around this thing is, there's got to be a time when we put things aside and we let things rest. And the whole idea is just getting saved and putting all the other stuff behind you. Say, this is my end. This is the end of the week for me. In other words, this is my Sabbath. I'm going to seek Jesus. And I got to put all this work stuff behind me. And let me just move on. There's this commandment Sabbath. There's a millennial Sabbath. There's a seventh-day Sabbath when God created the earth. And then, listen, there's a salvation Sabbath. You see, that seventh day represented to the Jews the old way, legality, law, fear, judgment. And it was only a type and a shadow. The eighth day, in our text in the book of Luke, in our text, my friends, this was the end of the Sabbath. 24:1, now upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, that's today. This is our Sabbath, or this is our Lord's Day. I don't even really like to call it the Sabbath. Sabbath is literally yesterday. I like to call it the Lord's Day. In Revelation, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. They set Sabbath aside. It was over with. It was done for. It was a new day for the disciples. The seventh day is the Sabbath's old death, legality, law, fear, judgment. The eighth day, which is the new day, the first day of the week, the eighth day? What? There's just 7 days in a week. The eighth day is something new. It's something you don't think about, but it's a whole new beginning, whole new opportunity in Christ Jesus. The seventh day represented limitations. Do you realize when the law was given that God said to Moses, he said, Listen, at Mount Sinai, he said, I want you to put barriers around this mountain. Sinai represented the law. Sinai represents people that are trying to be saved by keeping the law. And he said, I want you to put barriers around it. And those barriers, he said, I'm going to show myself. And if the people try to get too close to this mountain, they're dead. And there was smoke and fire and burning. And the people had to stay at a distance. They couldn't approach that holy place. You understand that? There was great fear. When you get saved, there's no more fear. You're not fearful of hell. You're not fearful of judgment. But you're at peace. The eighth day, which is the first day of the week, represents joy and peace and happiness. The seventh day is the old, the ending. The eighth day, the new day, the first day of the week is the new beginning. The seventh day, there's restrictions. On the seventh day, if people emphasize that seventh day, which represents the law, it represents restrictions. And you know what religion will do? It will put boundaries on you. It will put guidelines on you and restrictions on you. And to the place that you're totally in fear, if you're going to be able to make it to heaven. I was in Romania. There was a church there. It's called Union Baptist. And we talked to the pastor, and he believed in eternal security. And he said, yes, but I don't preach it. Why? He said, I don't preach it. It's because he said, if I preach eternal security, people will abuse it. Hey, that's just, he had the people in the palm of his hand. They preaching, believing it, but not preaching it. You believe in Jesus, you're set free. The seventh day's restrictions, but that new day, that first day of the week, my friends, if you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ about His resurrection on that first day of the week, there is not restrictions, but there's release. Set free. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's set free. He sets free. Now I'm going to get to the most, I don't want to say the most important part, but I want you to look with me in the New Testament here in Galatians. Probably more scriptures and we'll be done. I want you to turn to Hebrews 4 and Galatians chapter 3. We'll read in Hebrews 4 to begin, but then we'll go back to Galatians. In Hebrews 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did his. You need to write down that verse, remember that verse, circle it in your Bible or whatever. This is your hope. For he that is entered into his rest, let's just put it like this, for he that is entered into Jesus, for he that is gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did his. You see the picture there? I can't work to be saved. Ceased from his own works. There's somebody that would never miss a Sunday, and that's good. There's somebody that'll never miss giving an offering. That's good. There's somebody that'll never miss getting up in the morning, reading their Bible, praying. That's what you need to do. There's somebody that'll always give to the poor and always helping somebody in their own power. He said, you need to go ahead and keep doing that, but don't count on it. No, that's not. No, for he that entered into his rest, there remaineth a Sabbath seed. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now I want you to look in Galatians. Last place. In Galatians. In chapter number 3. I just want to scan some of these verses for you. Let's just scan. Let's look at this. Verse 6 says, even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. You say, how do I get righteous? And what you mean right there is you get saved. Believe God. I got to do this, got to that, got to church, got to get baptized. You know, all you got to do is just believe God. That's all you got to do. Just believe God. Believe what he said through his sinner. He said that you get, my son died for you, but believe me, trust him, get it saved. And that's what Abraham did. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Trying to work your way into heaven, the Bible says you're under a curse. You're under a curse if you're trying to work. If I owe the debt, I want to know how much I owe. And I want to get that debt paid. I just lay awake at times. Sometimes if I'm not in debt now, but I remember I'm thinking, you know, I got to get this thing paid off. I know how much it is, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to get it paid. And what a wonderful thing it is to be debt free. See, but he says, look, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Well, how much you owe God? You can't pay God. You can't work your way in. You can't be born in through your family or caregivers. That don't mean you're a Christian if they are. You're under the curse if you're trying to work your way in. First, it is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written, the book of the law. Say, I'm a hurtful person. I told them that. Beings you ever know. There is a good person. Good enough. Not with death man in this community. That ought to be enough to let people know they can't get saved by trying to keep the law. It is evident to just shall live by faith. And what does faith mean? We believe in a God we can't see. We believe in a Jesus that died on the cross that we've not seen yet. We believe this book is literal, real, spiritual, living. We believe all that. And we can't see nothing about nothing other than evidence of God and His creation. And it changed lives and tell people that you know that what? They no longer stinks. So long as so forth, the harlot no longer hearts. Or harlots. Say, well, that person's a tree. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, you get saved, you start wanting to do right. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He died on the tree, was nailed to the cross. Verse 19, wherefore, I got a little breath sunk down under all men. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? Wherefore
that's just another, we abbreviate so much in our English language. Now we say, why then serveth the law? Right? Let's go down the script. Well, we had a bunch of kids, and we're going to come down this road to prison. Let's say, Joe, curse the police! Talk to them. Kathy must have was in the van. She must have said, get out! I said, you don't have to fear if you're not prejudiced. Amen? Well, there are hipsters. Not like that. People that are trying to abolish the police there. Mama's teaching her kids. They're going to get me. Everyone then served the law that was added because the transgression of the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angel of the parent council for seed to kick us. Seed of God. Verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? No, God forbid. If there had been a law given, which would have given life? Oh, yes, listen now. Listen to the Bible. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, they kept one, not by the law. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. Doing right. In other words, do right and you can be saved. He said, it's not possible, for the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That do what? That believe. Is there anybody in here that will have, would say, I don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Is there anybody here? I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Anybody? You say, I believe. I believe everybody in this building, I could get you a raise hand, I believe everybody in this building say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me tell you who else believes. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I'm going to give you an example. It has to do with believing in your head and believing in your heart. I go to Mexico every year and sometimes twice. I get a ticket, it's paid, it's ready to go. I leave from Birmingham. I'd rather pay double to leave from Birmingham than half price to leave from Atlanta. So I got the ticket. I get out there and they got in the line and I'm going through the line and I'm standing, you know, getting through that little chute there and there's the door opens and there's the stewardess and all. And I'm looking at the plane and I'm saying, I know this plane will carry me. I see them in the sky. I see planes going through the sky. And, you know, they're way up high. And then all that. And I believe that. I believe it'll carry me. I know it will. I mean, it'll carry me. But I stand there and watch it fly off. That's head knowledge. The devils have head knowledge. So you know what I'm going to say, what heart knowledge is. Amen. Thou, the Bible says in Romans 10, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou shalt be saved. Not your head. That's intellectualism. But heart is you. It's commitment. You know what commitment is? Me walking in, me sitting down, me buckling up, taking off. And there's a difference between going to heaven or going to hell. You say, well, what do people think about me? Can you imagine me getting on a plane? I'm going to think, what do people think about me? I'm getting on this airplane to go to Mexico. And, you know, what are they going to think? You know, who am I? I mean, you know, I'm embarrassed to do that. Not me, buddy, especially on the way home. Especially when it's time for me to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning at that airport. I got a motel right across the street from the airport, and I stay there. I get up early, and I get in that airport, and I show my ticket, and I get there early to make sure I'm coming back home. There's the difference, friends. Head knowledge puts you in hell. Heart knowledge gets you in heaven. Now, let me give you this verse. This verse has been with me all week long. What a blessing it is. Look, verse 23, this is it. But the scripture, verse 23, but before
faith came. When did faith come? Before faith came, we were kept under the law. Think about this. That just means before you were saved, you were kept under the law. But before faith came, you know where you get your faith? God will give you your opportunity. He gives every man a measure of faith, and you have to act upon that when He sends it to you. And if you don't, He may never come back again and say, I'm giving you some faith to believe. We're so, so depraved that we don't have faith. We can't create it. God gives it to us. But before faith came, you remember the way you were? You remember the way it was with you before faith came into your life? You remember that? Look back. Think back. Remember. See, the disciples had forgotten what Jesus said. But let's think back about our history, where we were, what we were doing, what kind of life we lived before faith came. Before faith came, God says, okay, whoever I won't call names, but you or you or you. Faith is here today. Faith is here for peace. But before faith came, what? What we were doing? We were under the law. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. God's providence, God's sovereignty with every human being. Sometime in their life, usually it's when they're young, sometimes in their life, God says, faith is revealed to you, and you have the opportunity. Before faith came, faith's here for you today, friend, if you'll believe. Let's stand. There's some people here maybe that needs to trust Christ as their Savior. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I'm not your judge. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is a very serious thing. Do you remember before faith came? Do you remember when you were kept up under the law? Do you remember when you're set free because of faith? All you got to do is believe. It's like somebody in a jail cell. And they're convicted, going to the electric chair. And then faith comes by and unlocks the key and opens the door and said, you can go. And you say, oh, no, I'm convicted. I'm going to the electric chair. I did something bad. You know, I'm getting what I deserve. I'm going to tell you what. There ain't nobody in this room that wants to get what they deserve. That door's open. So I'm going to tell you what. I'd jump out of there before that door closed, before faith came. Father, have your way. Lord, I ask, Father, that you'll do your work in our hearts and lives. Save the lost. Somebody may be